Hi, I'm Tom Coffin, CEO and president and co-founder of Simply Reliable Incorporated. Welcome to the Smartpreneur Podcast. What's a smartpreneur, you might ask? Well, a smartpreneur, in our opinion, is someone that focuses on working on their business, not just in their business. And our Smartpreneur Podcasts are designed to bring you some relevant information each week about your business and different parts of that business. It could be marketing, it could be workflow, it could be labor, it could be business operations, many things that we'll talk about each week on the podcast. You can also check out our Smartpreneur blog at simplyreliable.com. And of course, our Smartpreneur podcast is brought to you by Simply Reliable, makers of Smart Office and Design Machine, the complete end-to-end solution for business process for systems integrators. So thanks for joining us today, and I hope you enjoy the show. This week on the Smartpreneur Podcast, our guest is Chris Smith. Chris is the co-founder and CEO of The Co-Team. Please welcome Chris Smith. Well, hi, Chris. How you doing?
Tom, I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for being with us again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Hey, Smartpreneurs, we've got another special session this week of the Smartpreneur Podcast. Chris Smith, our friend and Smartpreneur faculty member here, has written another great blog, Hiring and Managing A Players. And it's a great blog, but we're going to dig in a lot deeper on this. So, hey, Chris, I was thinking that, you know, first of all, it might be interesting to our Smartpreneurs who may not be familiar. Just give us a minute or two on what Vistage is and what they're all about, because I think they'd be interested in that.
So Vistage is a group that does CEO peer advisory. So picture you being in a room with roughly about eight CEOs. They are fellow business owners, just like yourself. And the goal behind Vistage is not to have a competitive person in the space. So there might be somebody who does, you know, software as a service. There might be another person in there who's in manufacturing. So a whole variety of different types of CEOs. And you meet up monthly and for a whole day to share about your business, where you're at, the challenges you're facing. And typically the way that it works is that each monthly session is focused on one particular member of the group. And it's just like having a board of directors, except for that board of directors is filled with other CEOs who are going through all the same growing pains you are. The other thing that Vistage does, which I find really valuable, is their learning days. So they'll have speakers come in. So Vistage, as an international organization, has a speaker membership, and you can see all of the other speakers that have presented during a learning day to other groups. And then they're upvoted, so you can get the best speakers to come in and talk to your peer advisory group.
Well, that was interesting, Chris. I've spent quite a few days with Vistage in my time. I really enjoy the learning days that they have. So Smartpreneurs, if you haven't checked it out, check it out. That makes me wonder another thing, though. I know you're a really smart guy. Did this stuff just come, you know, floating inside your head, or where did you first start thinking about managing and hiring the A players?
I'd like to think I'm that smart without any help, but I rely on a lot of other smart people to teach me things that I incorporate back into my practice. So at Vistage, I was invited to a learning day, and I sat in, and the presenter that day was a gentleman named Eric Herrenkahl. And Eric actually wrote the book, How to Hire A Players. And don't try and type in his name, you'll never spell it right. But if you search for How to Hire A Players, you'll find it. And Eric presented that day, and he taught this methodology from a hiring perspective. And I thought it was great. And I started to think about the idea of not just hiring this way, but managing team members. So I asked Eric for his perspective on had this been used in that capacity. And he said, no, but I can't see a reason why it wouldn't. And that day, I took that methodology back to my office, generated the document sets, and began to manage my team from an A player methodology. And I've used it ever since. And now I use it both in managing and hiring for other folks.
Oh, that's terrific, man. Well, you've brought along some visuals. So those of us that or those of you that are watching the podcast versus just listening, we're going to turn our cameras off and bring these visuals up, which will help display and convey the ideas a little bit better. All right, great. So we've got the visual up here. You've got a tool for our smartpreneurs that they can view on the Smartpreneur blog. You can click on it and poke it up or contact Chris, and he can help you develop these on your own. But this tool defines the traits as it pertains to best and worst employees, from my understanding. So let's dig in. Chris, would you give us an example of how this works?
So the goal here is to think of 5 to 7 traits for the individual in question. Now, we'll use a technician for sake of conversation. We might have 3 different levels of technician, an entry level, a mid-level, and a senior. I can't possibly expect the exact same traits and behaviors from a person making 1/2 the salary of somebody else. So the important distinction here is that the traits and the definitions we're going to be talking about are commensurate with the level of pay of that individual. So doesn't matter what position we're talking about now, we write down the traits that make us successful, and then we write down the definitions. How do we know what traits they are? Think about all the best employees you've ever had in a given role. Mm-hmm. What were those traits that they exhibited? And the way you can think about this in your mind is, oh man, we used to love Bob. Bob was just like this. If more people could be like Bob this way, the world would be a better place. Our company would be a better place. Oh, you remember when Tim used to do this thing? That was awesome. Yeah, more people should be like Tim that way. So you're going to think about the trait that it exemplified and the definition or the manifestation of that trait that defines the A player quality. We're not talking about the ability to terminate wires or read an instruction manual or something like that. We're talking about the fundamental skill set of the human being. Those are the players we want to hire. Those are the ways that we want to coach towards. Conversely, we want to think about B players. Hey, do you remember when Jim used to be on our team? Oh man, he was the worst because he did things this way. Ah, so what was that trait? And what was his manifestation of that poor behavior? What would the counterpoint of that be? We now know the B player and the corresponding A player trait that we can write down and say that's who we're looking for. So when we're done, we're going to have somewhere between 5 and 7 traits and an A player and a B player definition per trait.
Very cool. And as the process continues, you discuss developing a set of questions that you might ask in interviews. So can you dig into those?
Imagine now we have a candidate sitting in front of us. We think their resume is good. They don't look like rock hoppers. They seem somewhat loyal. The technical looks like it's in the right place. People come in and they start grilling them on the technical. I don't do any of that. I want to sit down and make sure I hire the right person. So once I've written those traits down, I now need questions that elicit in a response which side of the spectrum they're on per trait. Are they more A or are they more B? Times as many traits as we have in the definitions that we have. Now, in the example here, focused is listed as a trait. What we can't do is ask somebody something silly like, how do you feel you are on being focused? That's a little right. Too on the nose. So we need to start to ask them questions that elicit a response that allows them an open-ended answer that allows us to infer who they are. And I like to think about 3 questions per trait. Why 3? When we go through this process, we're going to ask the very first question for each trait. And when we get done, we're going to come back and ask the second question for each trait. The reason why we're going to do this is we want consistency in their answers. Imagine the first answer is A and the second answer is B minus. Or imagine the first answer is B minus and the second answer is A. When I get done with all of my first and second questions, I'm going to come back and figure out which questions I need a tiebreaker for. So I always want to have a tiebreaker question ready that being the third question for every given trait. So by the time I'm done, I'm going to have two scores for each trait, ideally lined up, and a tiebreaker option so that I really know.
Makes sense. So this all builds to a scorecard, right? So how does that scorecard help the interviewer determine if that potential employee is a good fit or a bad fit?
So we'll get to the AB player question shortly, but you'll see just above that, there are two sections that are not related to AB player. One comes from Patrick Lencioni's Ideal Team Player. And I talk about hungry, humble, and smart. We can jump into those on another podcast. These are criteria I look for in every employee, no matter whether they're sweeping the floor or your CFO. And then I call them the basics on the other hand, which is, did they show up on time? Were they well-presented, well-spoken? Did they have questions prepared? Did they feel authentic? And then lunch table is the idea about, I imagine them sitting at a lunch table with my people. What do they say? Down at the bottom, though, is the AB player section. And this is actually where we're going to record our perception of the responses for question one and two for each trait, or if we have to, question three. And in fact, it's not just a single person writing down their answers. I suggest two people sit in on this interview, whoever the hiring manager might be, plus a second interviewer. You'll see those notes up at the very top to put in the person's name, who is the manager and the second interviewer. Who does the second interviewer need to be? Anyone who can read. So you hand them the AB player traits, you hand them the questions, and they're sitting shotgun with you, and they're answering these questions alongside of you in terms of their perception of someone's answers. So as we look down at the AB player section, you'll see at least two, if not three, circles around the given letter you've chosen, and your sidekick interviewer is going to be doing the same thing based on the responses. When you're done interviewing somebody, you are going to send them home, and your sidekick and you are going to compare notes about how you scored this individual. And where you're in agreement, you don't need to talk about it. Where you're in disagreement, you should be sitting down to say, well, why did you perceive it this way? And they should ask you, and why did you perceive it the other way? Ideally, you're going to come to a conclusion and say, we're not sure, and therefore we need to have another round of interview to dive in just to these areas so we really know who they are. Next trait, when we start to look at all the areas where they're an A, fantastic, we're very happy. Where they're a B, if we've got lots of Bs, this is a no. Where we have a few Bs, that's very normal. Now what we need to say is, am I prepared to coach this individual? And is this person coachable in the areas where they're a B? If they're not coachable or I'm not prepared to coach them, is that a deal breaker for their success in this organization? Keep in mind, when we talked about the traits, we said this is what defines success. So when we didn't like certain people and they left and we were happy, we said that those were B players. We want more of those people in our organization or less. And so the whole goal is to be able to have a really solid assessment based on an interview cycle.
Well, that was really cool. And again, Smartpreneurs, if you want to find out more about this, at the end, we're going to talk about how to get a hold of Chris, because he's got lots of really cool documents like this and lots of help about managing your business. But to continue on, Chris, the next step, and I think when you told your story early on about visiting the Vistage meeting, this was a big deal. So, you know, you're right about the scorecard and existing employees. So can you take us through how you would, maybe not so much how you would, because you explained that part, but maybe when you would. How often do you do the scorecard with existing employees? And is it always on your mind, or is it something you do, you know, just quarterly or yearly? Maybe dive into that a bit.
So what we quickly realized was you can't hold people to a standard they don't know exists. So imagine we're going through the hiring process and we now hire the individual. We actually hand them the AB player document and say, this is what we expect out of you as an individual. So now they at least know. Now, whether we're talking about managing the new employee or existing employees, now what we want to do is we actually want to have the employees self-grade. So we want to hand them the scorecard and we say, I want you to circle where you think you are on this scorecard based on your perception. I will have scored that individual myself, or their manager will have scored them. And then we meet one-on-one and we actually review their version and our version. And a couple of things will become readily apparent. What we found was that our employees were very self-aware and they were very honest. So where they were deficient, they showed that they were, and where they were strong, they showed that they were. In other words, no one was fooling themselves as to how proficient they were in any one of these traits.
That's good.
Now we have a game plan. Now what we can say is, you're short in these areas, but you're great in these. Thanks for being great in these. On the areas where you're less than ideal, we're going to work with you to develop an action plan to fix these things. Would you like to? If the employee says no, we have a problem because we need people to be at that level. But usually people are pretty open-minded. They're willing to see that that's not the ideal trait for them. And so they'd like to be different. Assuming that they're willing to be different, we now work through a coaching plan with them. And that's usually done on a weekly basis. We don't expect people to be fully better in a week. We also don't expect them to convert completely from, you know, less than ideal to ideal in a week. But we want to make incremental improvements. So they need to know what the goal line looks like and they need to know what the plan looks like. And I think that's best done on a weekly basis. If somebody is really deficient in an area, it's quite possible that they're not the right fit for the company anymore. And I think that that's also an opportunity where either they're so far past the ability to make the change or they don't desire to make the change, that now we have a transition strategy where we need to basically coach them out of the organization and backfill their seat with someone who can. And another takeaway that we had from this process, for instance, in our service department, we actually had 6 different technicians. And so we had 6 different answers back from service technicians. Mm-hmm. Imagine that we see one trait is particularly low scoring across all 6 of those technicians. Well, I don't think I have an individual problem. I think I either have a training problem as a business or I have a hiring problem as a business. And so I owe it to my employees to coach them up and out of that problem. What you'll usually find is not that you have a systemic issue. I have seen it before in companies where it is systemic, but what you usually have is a variation of the theme. This individual is working on one or two things. This individual is working on one or two different things and so on and so forth. And what we've then created are individual training plans to help them out of those problems.
Very interesting. Well, Smartpreneurs, I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did. I thought this was fantastic, Chris. Very, very good.
Thanks, Tom.
Absolutely. I imagine that, at least I hope, that a few Smartpreneurs are going to say, you know, I need to know about more about this. I should talk to this Chris guy. So, Chris, what's the best way for them to reach out and find you?
Feel free to shoot me an email. It's right there on the screen in my video window, chris@thecoteam.com.
Awesome. Smartpreneurs, thanks for being with us. Join us again next week on the Smartpreneur Podcast. And remember, you can always catch up on the Smartpreneur blog by going to simplyreliable.com, clicking on resources, and there you'll see Smartpreneur blog as well as the Smartpreneur podcast. So if you've only heard these in the past and you want to get a little video, you can watch some video there as well. We'll see you again next week.